Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Stephen the Warman Writes Kickfighting Podcast Show. I'm your host, Stephen the Warman. You are listening to this podcast in one of two ways. Either you are at my blog, which is lordgaul.podbean.com. I try to upload an episode to it once a week. I've been pretty consistent lately, so thank you very much for that. Also, the other way you listen to the podcast is through the most efficient way, by entering Warman Kickfighting Show into the iTunes search engine. Show pops right up. It'll be uploaded weekly for you, and I'll do my best to stay consistent as I have been lately and keep getting you guys that good high-level kickboxing and Muay Thai action. So be all over the globe today. I'm going to be in Australia, going to be in China, going to be in Japan. So I'll go ahead and jump right into the action. First, I'll start by talking about the Glory card. And disclaimer, as I always mention, I am on the talent ops team for Glory Kickboxing. I help with scouting and was putting fights together in the U.S. Definitely proud of that accomplishment, proud to be part of that team. Also means when I break down fights, I will try to keep it to the action a little bit more. Last time I gave you guys a lot of back behind the scenes. I think it'll probably be best moving forward that I just kind of keep it to the action. That way I don't, that way I don't get away from the action and make the narrative more than competition, because that's what I want you guys to get to from this podcast. I want you to listen to it and be like, okay, this is what's going on in Glory Kickboxing as far as action is concerned. So I will go ahead and try to make sure that's my focus. I usually use this disclaimer. I didn't mention it last time, but I want to go back to doing that. It's very important that when I break down fights, I tell you about the action or about the narrative as far as moving forward. But outside of that, I'm not going to get into too much behind the scenes, how people corner, how game plans are. That's kind of up to individuals. I will go ahead and jump into the action now. First and foremost, Sitsong Pingyang gets his fourth win over Murat Grigoryan, this one by split decision. And first thing I want to say about this fight is I really do disagree with a lot of people that I saw on Twitter. I thought that, and normally these are a lot of individuals who I respect, and most of the time we are on the same page. But just every once in a while, how it's going to be in sports. Every once in a while, you're going to have disagreements. And this one was one of those for me. For example, I kept seeing a lot of people feel that Murat Grigoryan was not throwing in combos, but more walking around and looking for big shots. I actually thought he did a pretty good job of throwing in combos. I thought he did a good job of throwing in flurries. In rounds 1, 2, and 3, I really thought that it was closer than how other people had it. Now, I think Sitichai did land the cleaner shots. I think he did a good job of landing. As always, he is slick with that left hand. He can find his moment. It's very easy for him to find his shots consistently. This dude is good. He's such a talent. He's really, really good about finding straight left hand, sneaky knees to the body, and of course he lets the left leg go. He is such a talent. So definitely, Sitichai does what he does best. But I thought this time, Murat Grigoryan, who had the big win over Superbomb by KO earlier in the year. I thought that he was up to the task to throwing combos back. He wasn't always first, but I thought Murat Grigoryan, if something was scored on him, he looked to throw a combo and it kicked back, like he had hardened himself in his mind that this is how I'm going to fight. I thought that he threw in flurries when he had his moments. I just thought that sometimes his shots would miss or catch the shoulders and the gloves, whereas I thought Sitichai would be able to score clean or not throw a lot. But I thought Grigoryan's work rate and his volume, and I really did think that he had some good moments. I thought rounds 1, 2, and 3 were close. I just saw them closer than others. Most people who had scoring this, and I have no problem with the score, most of the people who had scoring this had this 4-1. I would say most. I like Grigoryan's work in round 1. You can make an argument for what round 1 or round 2. Pretty good for Grigoryan. But the tough one for a lot of people, 3, I thought was going to be tougher for a lot of people on the cards. It was not. I thought a lot of people were very consistent in going for Sitichai there. And I thought 2 was another one of those rounds where you can make that argument. Round 4, I did think that he didn't have the volume he had in the other rounds. And round 5, I thought that outside of that moment at the end, I thought that you could really make a strong case to the whole round for Sitichai and that straight left hand. So, close fight. Sitichai gets the victory again. What we do next with him is it's anything's good. He's the champion. You know, just bring on the next contender. Of course, we've got Jauncey out there. We've got, you know, other people who would like rematches. He's our best. You know, he is representing the weight class well. He is a longtime reigning champion, and it's really cool to see him do what he does. Murat Grigoryan, anything's good for him because he's an all-action kickboxer. He is in that mold, and I've mentioned it to you guys before. Misaki Nori, who I'm going to talk about a little bit later, Jauncey. These guys, when they are at their best, when their kickboxing is flowing, you are really seeing the best of the sport. Like, their styles are so beautiful in how they include all of the aspects of kickboxing, like all of the strikes, but they do it within the realm of the flow of the offense. Like it's just, it flows together. So when he's on form, he's great. Didn't get the W today, but still, awesome fighter, and we'll see more from Grigoryan moving forward. Next fight is Cedric de Kismayakir as he gets a victory over Kayin Zhang. Split decision here, 30-27, a dissenting 27-30, and then we had 29-28, a dissenting 28-29, and then 29-28 on the final card. Cedric de Kismayakir is a guy who, he's got one of the most interesting fight rhythms I've ever seen. Like, if you look at, like, a lot of Dutch kickboxers, what people think about or what people focus on is the idea of the boxing to the kicks. Boxing, boxing, kicks. Boxing, boxing, kicks, as Lloyd Van Damme had said to me. I think that's how people think about it. But there are a lot of fighters who had a lot of success all over Holland with different styles. And a lot of those guys have opened their own gyms. So Moosid Gym, he has his own style. It's not always a boxing, boxing, kick. And when how he fought, so his guys are a little bit different. Miles Simpson, you know, you think about him, of course, you think about Ryan Simpson, excuse me. You're talking about a guy who had good, he could play kickboxing, you know, to kicks, boxing to kicks, but he really had a different type of style. Lucien Corbin, everybody knows to look out for his guy's knees, a different kind of style. Cedric has got one of the weirdest rhythms to try to get a hold of. His kicks come up fast. They don't always shoot from the hip. Sometimes he gets the leg high and flicks from the knee to get the speed on it. I mean, he's got really, really good poise. He's a talent. I mean, I can't stress it enough how talented this guy is without you having the overwhelming, because he's not a huge athlete in terms of running and jumping. You know, so there are people who are, you know, if you, like Tyrone Spall, you know, is a physical specimen who running and jumping is probably going to be really good and really fast and really strong. You know, I don't think Cedric's going to win that kind of contest with most guys. But as far as finding consistent offense and really sneaky offsetting offense that you can't really get a read on, this guy is at the top. Zhang, I thought, you know, had good moments. I thought the fight was rightfully close. But Kiersmaker was able to do enough to get the victory. Interesting guy. I'll be watching him moving forward because, like I said, he's got a weird rhythm. It's not that he can't play boxing and kickboxing. You know, I'm just saying I watched several of his fights, and I was like, dude, what a weird rhythm to try to get a hold of. And I'm happy that he's here. You know, he has a stoppage loss to Aziz Kala and Fusion, and you're like, okay, how do people handle themselves after it doesn't go their way? After you get that stoppage and, you know, you're embarrassed because you wanted it to go a certain way. You didn't, you know, nobody wants to get stopped, of course, but, like, how do you respond to that? And I thought he did such a great job of getting back to the gym, getting some fights, and here he gets this glory opportunity and he gets a W. So shout out to him and good stuff. Moving forward, I'll be paying attention to you. Khalil Zeniev gets a victory over Julio Lobo. Scored a couple of knockdowns. Zeniev is a guy who I've seen several times fight. I've seen him fight. Let me see. I can't remember the exact card. There was a China card I'm trying to remember. I can't remember it. But I knew that he would be, prospect-wise, skill-wise, a guy to pay attention to. So this is a solid win. Lobo, it's step-up opportunity because this is a big step up. We'll see how he finds his way with another glory opportunity. Sometimes it's not your night. Sometimes you run into the right guy, and that guy's on form. So shout-out to Kale and Lobo back to the gym, and hopefully we see you down the road. This was close to being one of the KOs of the year. Just the placement was just a little bit off. Shang Long Zhang gets a no contest on round one as he does a spinning backfist against Nafi Belovsky. And I think that the intentions were good. It wasn't like it scored with the elbow, but there's a certain part of the glove that you got to score with when you play a spinning back fist, and he just missed it. So it's just, I mean, it's a game of inches, and he was just off. It was on its way to being one of the cooler spinning back fist KOs you're ever going to see, but on replay, you can see that the lower part of the glove, kind of more by the lace, gets a hold of the get the opponent and closer to the forearm. And that part is illegal. Under glory rules, that is illegal. Again, I know it wasn't Zhang's intention, but in a game of inches, he just missed by an inch. Nafi took the big shot. Clearly, he's going to want another opportunity. He's going to want to bounce back because he was looking to be aggressive. To Belalovsky's credit, I thought that Belalovsky did a good job of looking to engage and strike despite. Like, he didn't look at this big kickboxing opportunity as, I'm happy to be here. He's fighting to win. He's moving forward against a guy who's really, really tough, and he got hit with a crazy shot. Like, a shot, he got hit while he was punching, like, moving forward to throw strikes. So he was putting in effort in the moment of him going down. Now, again, early in the fight, you know, early, it's round one, so you don't get to see what two and three would have brought from both athletes. But unfortunately, that is the game, and we have a no contest after this one. Asa Tim Pyle continues his winning ways. He gets a victory over Zhang Ziyi by split decision, and the narrative of this is simple. Ziyi is 19, maybe 20 years old now, if I remember correctly, all the time in the world. Anytime you get someone that's a really good athlete at that age, you say, I wonder what you're going to be blank. And I told you guys before that, you know, Glory Fighter Alim Nabayev, I've been following him since he was 15, 16 years old. And I knew that he had the potential to be one of the best fighters in the world. And even though he'd had a stomach block here and there, 19, 20 years old, has, you know, a loss here and there, a guy who I thought he could have beat that he lost to, even though that happened in his career, it wasn't the end of the world that he took those opportunities. You know, he continued to compete and fight, and now he's one of the best guys on the planet. In that way, Ji could be that down the road. It just, I'm saying Ji, I believe I'm pronouncing that. It could be a she, but with the X. But I thought that was still competitive, had some good moments. Just the bigger, stronger Asa Tim Pyle was able to do a little bit more in the rounds. As for Asa, anything's good for him moving forward. Clearly, it'd be cool if we could work it all out and maybe get another opportunity in glory before the year's over with. Any fight is good for Ziyi moving forward. Just got to keep fighting. Good stuff by both. We'll do a couple more. We had a tournament, and in the tournament, the winner, I won't do the whole tournament, I'll just focus on the finale, as Li Shu gets a victory over Wang Sheng Zhang by split decision. Li Shu was fighting, and what I mean by that is we had a unanimous decision where he scored a couple of knockdowns, split decision in his first fight, and then he gets a split decision for the victory. I thought that both guys brought an entertaining brand of fight, and Wang Sheng Zhang, we've seen him before. I thought that they treated it as, this is my big moment, and they fought really, really hard and really well. A lot of people turned up to see it. I saw some of the stream numbers were getting around 1 million, 2 million, and that's off of a stream, which is really, really exceptional. So good stuff there by these guys, making the most of it. But the action that they brought, they really did play consistent with those with their body kicks and with their volume, their punching volume and their boxing, they went at it. And that's kind of what you want to see from the highest level. So either step is good for both guys. But Li Zhu is a guy who showed his toughness because he went against Murat Grigoryan earlier this year. And a lot of people were sitting there watching the fight, waiting for him to get stopped. But he was game. He was tough. He wasn't going down. He kept going. Here he is. He gets this tournament opportunity and he wins it. And that's what this sport is about. That's what it's all about, what you do after the L happens, you know, because this is kickboxing, you know, and kickboxing, we're going to fight so many people that there's going to be a time where it's not your night or you don't get your offense going or you fight somebody in their hometown and the decision doesn't go for you. There are so many ways that a loss could happen despite your skill, you know, just sometimes it's just not your night. How do you handle when that happens? Do you fall apart? Do you pout? Do you, I wish I was never here, I hate this organization? Do you play that role, or do you go, okay, back to the gym, I'm going to get a W the next time we do this? And I think that Li Shu treated this as, back to the gym, work hard. My next glory opportunity, I'm bringing it. And you see a tournament victory for him there. Wang Sheng Zhang, going to be fine. Very, very talented guy. He's going to get opportunities, moving forward. It's just sometimes after a long, hard-fought tournament, judge sees it one way. No judge sees it another way. Unfortunately for him, more judges saw it in the favor of his opponent. But he did nothing wrong, competed to his best ability. We'll see Zhang down the road. Chen Chen Li gets a victory over Masaya Kubo, a victory that he very much wanted. Kubo, if I remember correctly, there was a head kick KO, and I want to say around the minute mark of the first fight, there's a paw, and then a head kick that followed. Here, Chen Chen Li is able to get the unanimous decision, 30-27 on most cards, 29-27 on another. Just better, consistent kickboxing work. Masaya Kubo is a decent talent, in the weight class. It's so hot in Japan right now. They got so many good guys around that weight class. Kubo definitely wants to keep fighting and try to emerge and be one of those names, in particular as he's a glory signing and a lot of those other names are K-1 signings. So clearly, as the opportunities come, he will compete and do better down the road. But this particular time, it just didn't go Kubo's way. Lee showed more kickboxing skill throughout. He was your rightful winner. Last fight on the card I'm going to talk about is Jia Liu, as she took out, she was able to defeat Zaza So Ari, 30-27, a couple of knockdowns called. The one thing that Jia Liu got in the first fight, I actually thought Zaza So Ari was doing well with her strength and her boxing. This time, she wasn't able to get into that flow as much, and I also feel like Jia Liu did a good job of improving from the first fight to now. And you see this really, really a lot. I watch a lot of kickboxing over in China. The high sidekick that they play with, they get the hip high, like a sidekick that you would see in karate or taekwondo. And they can go to the body, but normally they extend at the knee, and they lodge their foot sideways, and they usually go towards the head. Whether it goes to the body or to the head, it is an effective, effective shot that you see a lot of Chinese fighters use. And I thought that in this particular fight, Jia Liu did a good job of finding that consistently. Zaza had her moments, just wasn't the consistent work she had in the first fight. Back to work, she's still, young, talented, very pretty. She's got more good opportunities coming because Zaza's fought, everywhere, not just opportunities in Thailand, but she also fought in shootboxing in Japan, and now these glory opportunities, and she travels because they're all kind of in that same team. She's dating one of the Pinto brothers, and they're traveling, and more opportunities will come for her. She is a benefit to the company. It just didn't go her way this time in the cards, and that's how the sport goes. Back to the gym. I'll see you and your team more down the road. As for Jia Liu, got to build on this win. Hopefully we can get her someone else in the glory ranks so that she can continue to build her resume. But overall, pretty good stuff that happened in China. I liked hearing the numbers about the streams. I like that the world champion retained because it means that more drama. Got to go after that guy. How do you beat the person at the top of the hill, I think that that's always a story because when that person does finally lose, it doesn't necessarily make the person who beat them a star, but it makes the person who beat them important. And that is very, very key to the kickboxing game. I'm going to go ahead and take us to Brazil next. I was thinking, the card I'm thinking of, there's a Brazilian headliner, but the card I'm thinking of actually went down in Argentina. I'm all over the place with you guys. Really, really good stuff on this card. Here's a name that you should remember because if they give him the opportunity, and again, it just comes down to your manager. If he gets the opportunity, I think this guy could really make some good money in Japan. His name is Paulo Tibar, and I've mentioned him before, but now I'm going to focus on him a little bit more. Paulotebar. Paulo Tibar. He fights at a smaller weight class than Glory has. He fights around 60 kgs, sometimes a little bit less. Gets a victory over Nicolas Vega. Majority decision. Vega had some competitive moments, but in the end, the Brazilian fighter Tibar showed more skill. Very, very talented. Good kickboxing. Whips a nice, mean body kick from that southpaw stance. I just think that brings the pressure. He's a talent. Very, very talented guy. He's got the most important win for that area if you're in a smaller weight class. He's got a victory over Ignacio Kapalans. And Ignacio, who I'm going to talk about later, lost in this card. But Ignacio was the better fighter at the smaller weight class for a very, very long time. You know, in the what I would consider South America, he would be the number one guy. But, man, since the last couple years, especially if you look at what they've been doing consistently with the WPT kickboxing promotion, T-Bar has been one of the guys. He's very, very talented. You know, Glory Fighters have been produced from this this organization. So I'm excited for T-Bar. I want to see more of him. But from this weight class, pay attention to this guy. Another name to pay attention to, and this is a good one because this is a tournament. And this kid has got one of the coolest. He's got this weird sneaky knee KO out there, but his name is Diego Piovesan. Piovesan, excuse me. I believe I'm pronouncing that right. I practice over and over. I just wanted to make sure I got it. Diego Piovesan. Piovesan is a talented guy, good boxing, good volume. Not necessarily the hardest puncher, but the volume is really, really good. Like, he does a good job of pushing the pace, good, you know, stays in your face, not afraid to get hit, and he's ready to go to war for as long as the fight happens. Like I said, not a huge puncher, but a consistent puncher. So he does a good job. He's in a four-man tournament. Renzo Martinez is on the other side of the bracket. He gets a victory over Ignacio Campolans, the Ignacio I mentioned before. Ignacio, I'm telling you, and his youth, he was awesome. And it's not that he's a super old guy, but in his youth, he was something. And I remember the first time we talked about him on the podcast, back when Ryan Scalia, who was, you know, big-time boxing guy. But at the time, Ryan Scalia was all about, just prospects that weren't signed. So he and I did a podcast like 2011, 2012, and this is one of the names that popped up. Like, this guy is a talent. Had the opportunity to go to Japan, went against Tenshin Nasukawa, didn't go his way. Tenshin's a super, super prospect. Nasu had a couple of other international opportunities. He had an okay run, but you know how the game is. It's always about the new, young generation. Renzo Martinez can't get more new than young than him. He burst on the scene at 19 years old. A couple years later, I think he is 20 or going on 21. He's got to be close to 21 now, but he's been doing his thing for quite some time, you know, and been doing his thing, moving up the ranks for the last, you know, quite some time for this organization, 2+ years for this organization. So he gets a victory there. Pio Vasan gets a victory over Faku Suarez. Suarez, I've talked about him on the show before, but these two met, and Pio Vasan, more work than Renzo Martinez, just a more complete fighter at this stage. The volume shows up. And Renzo is, I mean, he's hittable, and I've seen him struggle with people who kind of bring volume before, but he's still a young talent, good-looking kid. I think you'll see more of Renzo Martinez moving down the road. But Diego Piovesan is the guy who is probably going to be him and Tabar. You could see them doing something, but either of these two could make some money in Japan. One more fight of note, Pablo Muda Roa got a victory over David Mazzacchi. So that is your WPG 48 results. Like I said, good stuff there. And I mean, it's really, really paid attention to T-Bar. If you want to see a crazy KO, go ahead and watch his KO over Ignacio. Like, it's on, you could find it pretty easy on YouTube. So really good stuff there. So now I'm going to go ahead and take us to Japan. And I mentioned this, I broke this card down right before it happened. So first, I want to talk about the importance of Kana's victory. And she gets a victory over Lucia Bai, gets a knockout with a liver kick in the second round. She was dominant throughout. This is what you got to do, Kana. This is what you got to do. I mentioned you guys last week. She has the dyed hair. She has an assortment of overalls that she wears. She's dating another fighter. She has not in the mode of arena in terms of being, like, really, really attractive. But she's, you know, she's got a look to her. She's you know, got an appeal to her. And she talks all the time about, hey, I want to do what Masato did to the middleweight division in kickboxing. I want to do that to kickboxing here. I want to be the one to you know, push that, you know, forward. And I love her. I love that she's took that on, because not only does she take on that responsibility, she's going out there and winning by stoppage. And that's important, because she really does have KO pop. So good stuff for Kana, is doing her thing. They made her the headliner. I mean, in a card that had Nori and Yamada, Crush 92, they made her title defense the headliner. So good stuff there. Misaki Nori gets another stoppage, but another stoppage for the highlight reel as he gets a victory over Yang Hedong. I'm just telling you, Misaki Nori, and someone made a clip of him recently of just some of the combos that he puts together. It's just beautiful kickboxing. And again, you guys know how I feel about Nori. I've been pushing him since he was 16 years old. 15, 16 years old. I've been watching this kid for a long time, and here he is in his mid-20s, and he just does artwork. Like, the stoppages he gets, the combination floor that he put together and hit another high kick behind it, he's got so many of them. It's consistent. It's consistent that he's got combination to head kick finishes. That's going to make him, and I'm going to dare to say this, could we dare 5 years from now consider Misaki Nori the head kick master of his generation, like we had Peter Arts as the head kick master of his generation? Isn't that crazy that's even a conversation? You would never think that someone would be able to find their high kick as consistent as Peter Arts was back in his day. But now, the resume is starting to build, and he keeps doing it. So there's a really good chance that Misaki Nori, when it's all said and done, could have that many head kicks and could be considered a legend in that regard. Because Nori is something. That dude is special. Tetsuya Yamada gets a left hook to the body KO over Kei Jung-Hu. Yamada is talented. I mean, like, he's been in the game for a while. He's going to be a tough out for anybody. The dude can fight. The dude is just, he's so talented. And been in the game for a while, fought all over the world, Thai fight, lion fight, full rules Muay Thai, whatever, you know, kickboxing, whatever it is. Yamada's a fighter. He's going to bring his best game forward, and you can expect to see him for a long, long time. But the left hook to the body he put on here, it was beautiful stuff, but it's not just that draws me to him. It's the fact that he is down to go against the best consistently. And once again, he goes out there, and whether he gets an elite opposition or he gets a guy who's kind of more, middle of the pack-ish here, he took care of business. And if you're way better, you got to treat someone like you're way better. I'm going to talk about it a little bit when I talk about a card in Australia. There is something to having an advantage over somebody and getting them out of there, as opposed to having an advantage over somebody and then trying to win and go home safe. You can't be a legend doing that. Yamada did the other route. He got somebody great, and he took care of business. Rin Hiramoto against Casey Kondo. I thought it was going to be an actual fight. Turns out it was a special rules kind of exhibition thing, so I won't talk about it much. You know, I'm glad that they did it, but go ahead, Kondo. You should have fought him anyways. A couple other fights in the card to talk about. I won't go through it full. Just kind of run these off. Tetsuya Aoi. Aoi gets a KO victory over Masahiro Yamamoto. That knockout happened at the very end of the second round. Good stuff by Aoi. Yamamoto, man, just there are days where I think he's going to be great, and there are days where I'm like, eh. So just didn't go his way. Shinichiro Kawasaki gets a KO victory over Tato. That was in the second round. I want to see more from Kawasaki as far as beating elite names. Right now, just kind of someone that I consider, but not someone that I consider elite. Other victories. Actually, Hugh Kimura gets a decision over Kato Yamawaki. Masafumi Kurosaki gets a victory over Kuzunori. And then we had Takahito Nimi gets a victory over Tetsu. And then Yuta Sato gets a victory over Shu Yamaguchi. That was a stoppage. So good stuff there. Again, like I said, I'm trying to bring you guys fights from all over the globe. So we've gone to China. We've gone to Japan. But I want to go ahead and backtrack because I want us to go to a place that we haven't been in a while. We're going to Australia. Australia party, people. And then we're going to do a couple of stadium results. Not a lot, but a couple of stadium results. But first, let's go ahead and take care of business. First thing I want to talk to you guys about, and it just means that you should, pay attention to these athletes moving forward. Doesn't necessarily mean that, sorry about that. I clicked on something on my computer. Sorry about that. These guys have the potential to be something special down the road, but they're showing it right now. And I'm going to mention two names in particular that are emerging from Australia. And for the Australian, go ahead and say Oceania. When I fought, back when I came and fell in love with the sport, we considered New Zealand, Australia, all that were the Oceania fighters that were emerging from this area. So I'll use that term. River Daz is a talent. And he gets a stoppage over Andy Janiku. Again, he just, every tool, he can play boxing and kickboxing. He's got the skill set to do kickboxing. He's also got the skill set to be full rules Muay Thai like this. But it's just, he's got a look about him. He is trained by Mike Castagnani, the guy who's been doing commentary for a really, really long time. Him and Mike Chiavello were a team for a long time in Australia. But he run a gym for a while, and the kid River Daz that he got, first of all, what a great name, River Daz. Young, good look about him, aggressive style. River could be a star moving forward. Andy Janiku had some moments in this fight. He just couldn't deal with the overwhelming pressure and offense of River Daz. River Daz gets the victory there, and I'm excited to see more from Daz moving forward. 62 kgs, hopefully he'll find a home somewhere, at a larger organization, just so he can get his skill displayed on an international stage. This does not put a shout out against Rebellion, because Rebellion put on a great card. They had a good audience. I had Jian Wang Parr on the commentary. That was really cool. They have a good show, a good promotion. But if it wasn't for, and shout out to Muay Thai, if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be able to see this fight. But I was able to see it, and I've seen River fight before, and I want to see this guy every time he's on, because he is really, really entertaining. Next guy I'm going to talk about emerging from Australia, 76 kgs, I believe this bout took place. Toby Smith gets a stoppage victory over Jakub Benko. The left hook does it. Toby Smith catches him with a left hook. I want to believe the first one score. It was in the third round, scored a left hook. Got into another offensive flurry. He was looking for the finish. Another left hook scores. I thought they could have stopped it then. The commentary team also thought they could have stopped it then. But instead, they let Benko get back up. Benko, who's super tall for the division, did his best to defend himself, and he had some okay moments early. It's just Smith played him with power the whole time, looked for big shots early. Good stuff for Toby Smith. He gets the victory and moves forward. Moving forward doesn't just mean that you're the champion of Australia. This guy can make some money internationally. With that kind of pop in his hands, he's going to be a wanted commodity. So the big thing that I took away from this card, as far as narrative moving forward, be on the lookout for Toby Smith, 77 kgs. Look, be on the lookout for River at, 65 kgs if he decides to move in that direction. Both guys are talents. Definitely pay attention to them moving forward. Couple other fights from this card. Kompetchechlek goes, has a fight where he gets a victory over, what's his name? David, Press play accidentally because I was watching fights earlier. Sorry about that. But anyways, I found the fight I was looking for. Kompetchechlek Fairtex gets a victory over David Penimped. I believe I'm pronouncing it right. Penimped gets a victory over him. The big takeaway that I had from this is that Kompetchechlek fought in a way that makes you not want to use him anymore. He was a superior fighter with the body kick and his straight left hand. And he played good defense in spots, and he looks for elbows here and there. But he really played very, ho-hum all fight. Like, never, the intensity didn't rise. Like, there was nothing in him that was like, you know what? I'm really going to bring it. I'm really going to be this fight. I'm really going to be aggressive this fight. There was nothing in him that did that. Like, there was, I'm going to win. And then after he felt like he had the win, he went on cruise control. If someone's going to fly you internationally, you got to turn it up. This guy is in the same gym with Yotsen Klai. What made Yotsen Klai special was when he fought, it wasn't just that he was killing people with the left legs. It was that he was killing people. He was killing them with the body kick, and he'd kill them with the boxing. Everything he did. He dropped John Wayne Potter when they fought. He dropped him twice when they fought the Contender Asia Series. On the Contender Asia Series, he scored stoppages in two of the fights. Like, just two of the three fights. Like, he's just, he got people out of there, and that's important. If they're going to use you internationally, unless you do, and again, I can bring up an example. I'm going to close the show on Sanchai. Sanchai doesn't necessarily have the KO pop to kill people, but he does things to play with your imagination as you as a fight fan. The jumping inside leg kick, the jumping kicks, the way the sweeps, the evasion. Like, he's just a special talent. So really, really good stuff for the victor in terms of getting his hands raised. But in terms of being a commodity or someone that you're like, bring this guy out again, I don't think he accomplished that. So Complex Leg, if you got the ability to turn it up on somebody, you got to turn it up on them. I got a little bit more from Semipech as he got a victory over Godfredson. I thought that Semipech did offer a little bit more, did a little bit more in the boxing. Clearly, same thing. Both of these gentlemen were taking, Godfredson, taking a step-up opportunity against a fighter from Thailand, which is what, you know, I've mentioned it before. That's how you find out. And there's long history in this, and I bring up Paul Briggs all the time. Paul Briggs was killing everybody in Australia. Went over to Japan to fight their champion, their world champion at the weight class. Beat the best of Japan. He said, okay, I beat the best of Japan. Now I got to beat the best of Thailand. Ran into Jamad. Got stopped by low kicks. But it told him. He said, hey, it let me know. I got the best of Japan. Beating the best in Thailand is a whole nother level. And these gentlemen going out, David, Kumpechlek and Godfredson, they went out there and they said, I'm going to put it on the line. I'm going to try to go against a step-up opportunity against a Thai. And I thought that they fought hard and they went the distance, but the skill isn't quite there yet to beat the elite. But they felt it now, and it'll help their careers moving forward. So definitely good stuff. Another thing of note, I just want to bring up this fight, just because he's another athlete to pay attention to. There is a fighter named Chad Collins. Chad Sharp Collins. I believe, I know he's, I can't think of it exactly. I don't want to be wrong here. I'm going to say Oceania because for whatever reason, I think he's from New Zealand, but I actually think he might be from Australia. Like he truthfully, actually is from Australia, but for whatever reason, I was thinking he was from New Zealand, but I don't want to be wrong there. Anyways, I'm going to say it. He got a stoppage over Suckman Cole, stopped him in Rajamon Stadium, third round. There is a video clip of it out there if you're on Twitter. If you go to my Twitter wall, Stephen the Warman on Twitter, if you go there, you'll see this video on my wall. But pay attention to Collins. Jack Collins has got some tools. Plus, he's got a style that will work for both kickboxing and Muay Thai. So pay attention to that name. Very, very talented Chad Collins. So, gonna go ahead and wrap the show up. You know, I mentioned it before. I just want to bring it up one more time. But Sanchai fought, and he got what would be his 40th victory in a row, I want to say. Who he fought for Thai fight, of course, is just another guy brought in to display his skill set. But the thing that I want to bring up, it's so funny because his 40th win in a row, and I remember the loss. The loss was to Fabio Pinca, and arguably he probably won that fight. But the thing that I love about this guy and the consistency of him is, as I was mentioning before, it's important to put on a show in this sport. It's important to be more than just getting your hand raised. Now, in Thailand, it makes sense if you're up on the cards. But even they hate it even in Thailand. Like the promoters and stuff like that, they understand it for the culture of the sport. That if you've got a good lead, go ahead and let the other guy go home safe so he can take care of his family. Go ahead and try another opportunity. You do the same. You know what I'm saying? Because when you're in that spot, you guys fight the elite or not. You could be in that same spot with the exact same opponent where it was their night and not yours. And then at the end of the fight, both of you guys are trying to cover and get food for your family. And it's to your benefit to not go at it. So that opportunity is there. So, but he put on a show. Put on a great show. As I mentioned before, the jumping kicks, the inside leg, the just everything about his offense is just amazing. So shout out to Sanchai and his performance. And thank you to everybody who's been listening to the podcast and following. I will be back once again next week. I've been being consistent with you. God bless, and everybody have a good one. Peace.